Precious Kisiso. Welcome everybody, and especially those watching from London. In Parshas Kisiso, the Torah writes as follows: Ve'es Aharon ve'es Bonov Timshoch. This is the anointment. Last week was the appointment, but this week the anointing of Aaron HaKohen, ve'kidashto oisom lechahin li. When Moshe Rabbeinu is told to be Mekadesh the Kohanim, both Aaron HaKohen and also his sons. How so? What you should do is, says the Torah, is as follows: Ve'el b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemor. Talk to Klal Yisrael and tell them, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, Yeh Ze'eli L'doyrei Seichem. This, of course, refers to the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil that was used to consecrate the Kohanim. However, here comes an additional pasuk. Al Basar Odom, however, lo yisoch. Even though there is a mitzvah in the consecration of the Kohanim, the Meshichas HaKohanim with his Shemen HaMishcha, Al Basar Odom lo yisoch. There is an Issa min HaTorah to use this very same Shemen HaMishcha if you would use that on a regular person, then that would be an Issa Do'iraisa. Whilst it would be a mitzvah to anoint the Kohanim with this Shemen HaMishcha, but if the same oil would be used, Sicha, for a regular non-Kohen, that would be an Issa Do'iraisa. Says the Gemara that when this initially happened, there was a lot of pachad, a lot of fear. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu initially took this shemen in order to pour it on Aaron, his brother, to anoint him as the Kohen Gadol, says the Gemara in Krisus and also in Hoyrios, Moshe Rabbeinu doyeg. Moshe Rabbeinu was very worried and concerned. Shemo chas v'sholem mo'alti v'shemen ha'mishcho. Maybe, whilst pouring it on Aaron HaKohen, perhaps it went on me as well, in which case I would have violated the Issa that we just mentioned, and that would be Mi'ila, an Issa Do'iraisa. And that's what he was concerned about. Yotzasah bas koil. So a heavenly voice all of a sudden emerged and said, don't worry. There was absolutely no me'ila whatsoever with your pouring the Shemen HaMishcha on Aaron HaKohen. You would have thought, therefore, everybody would have been reassured. Not so. Va'adayin Aaron hoyodoyeg. Aaron HaKohen, now it was his turn. He was very concerned and he said, it's true. Shemo Moshe loy mo'al. It's true, a heavenly voice has emerged to confirm that Moshe Rabbeinu did not violate the Issa that we mentioned before, al basar odom loy yisoch, but va'ani mo'alti. Perhaps I did. Maybe when this oil went on me, it perhaps went on parts of my goof, which are not relevant to the Mashiach. The Kohen needs to be anointed in certain parts of his goof, his roish, but maybe a few drops of this oil fell on a chelik of my goof, which would once again constitute a violation of the Issa al-Basar Odom lo Yisoch. All of a sudden, a bas koil emerges from heaven once again. And the bas koil says, Ma toiv uma noim sheves achim gam yochad. Both brothers are exactly the same. Sheves achim. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was not over me'ila, so too you, Aaron HaKohen, were also not over me'ila. That's the end of the Gemara in Krisus Daf Hei in Hoyrios Daf Yud Beis. The Mesillas Yesharim, almost at the very end of the Sefer, in Perek Chof Dalet, 24th out of 26 Prokim, is talking there about Yiras Hachit. Yiras Hachit. And he says, on a most simple level, a person will have fear of doing an Avera out of fear of retribution. He'll get a punishment. Nobody wants to suffer a punishment. So on a very simple level, that would be his initial thought. I wouldn't want to be over an Avera. Why? Because I'm fearful of the Oynish. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, however, there is something else completely, and that's called Yiras Haroimimus. Yiras Haroimimus doesn't mean, as it were, to be scared, but rather in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous stature. That's why I wouldn't be willing to be over an Avera. Not so much because of fear of retribution, because of Yiras Ha'oinesh, but rather, as Mesillas Yesharim says, because Yiras Haroimimus, Yiras Haroimimus, where the feeling enters my mind, as he says, Eich Yerav Liboy, how can I possibly entertain the thought of myself, a lowly, mere mortal Basar V'dom, and I should disobey, go neged Rotzein Hashem? He says that, of course, this type of yira is more difficult to come by. The yiras ha'oinesh is very real. Nobody wants to suffer an oinesh. That doesn't need any explanation whatsoever. But yiras haroimimus, this great awe, as it were, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that demands a lot of hisboinimus. A person has to think about his own lowly level. A person has to think in comparison about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's very lofty level. And only then can he come to the conclusion and this feeling of Yiras Haroimimus. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, if you look, and he gives countless examples in Chazal, but he says, Hare lecha midosam shel chasidim. This is the midah of chasidim, of oivdei Hashem, that even whilst doing a mitzvah, hoyu doyagim, they are concerned, chas v'shalom. Maybe a little bit of an element of avera perhaps crept into this. As an example, he cites the Gemara we just mentioned. Moshe Rabbeinu, whilst performing a mitzvah min HaTorah of anointing the Kohen Gadol, is concerned that perhaps indeed he has sinned. Aaron HaKohen, even after his brother Moshe Rabbeinu has been reassured, is concerned that here we are in the middle of performing a mitzvah, but perhaps, maybe, I've been over an Avera. And that brought them tremendous pachad and daiga. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, indeed, this is the way of all tzaddikim. This is the way of all tzaddikim. They live with this constant fear, awe of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, chas v'shalom, that I should be over an Avera. I saw just today that one of the Talmidim of the Beis Halevi, the Beis Halevi Kiyodua, there are many stories, anecdotes about his phenomenal Yiras Shomayim and Yiras Chet. So one of his great Talmidim said, I have no doubt that when the Beis Halevi comes upstairs to Shomayim, to the Bezdin Shel Malo, they will not give him Olam Haba for having not been over an Avera. He won't receive Olam Haba on account of not doing Averas. You know why? Because he wasn't shaykh for him. He couldn't be over an Avera. It's like, nobody will get Olam Haba for not putting their finger in the fire. Said the Talmud, you know why my great Rebbe will get Olam Haba? For the very fact that he had fear of doing the Avera in the first place. It's not for the non-performance of the Avera. Rather, it is for the fear of Chas V'Shalom committing an Avera. That's where my Rebbe, the Beis Halevi, will get his Olam Haba. So I'd like to discuss, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, for a minute or two this evening, this concept of Yiras Chet. And perhaps we should begin with a pasuk in the Novi Yecheskel. In Perek Lamed Gimel, the Novi Yecheskel addresses Klal Yisrael and tells them that they've been sinning the Oivra and Averas and they need to be Chayzer B'Tshuva. And he says to them, the way Rashi explains, it seems to be that you don't want to be Chayzer B'Tshuva. Do you know why? Kisvurin, because apparently you hold Shaloi Toil Lochem Tshuva. It would seem to be that you don't really, quite frankly, believe that Tshuva will help at all. And that's what the Novi was coming to reassure them and mechazer them that they should indeed be Chayzer B'Tshuva. But as Rashi writes, the concern was, apparently, that they didn't believe in the koyach of tshuva. They didn't believe in tshuva. One of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rabbi Yitzchok Blaser, has his famous sefer, Koich Ve'oir. And in the sefer, Koich Ve'oir, in Maimer Gimel, he asks the following question. Here we are, Klal Yisrael, the times of the Nevi'im, and they did not believe in the Koyach of Tshuva. So he asks a remarkable question. Here we are, hundreds of years later, and from time to time, especially at the time of Yomim Neiroim, we will hear a drosha, we will hear a shir on the union of Tshuva. I've never seen, says Itzel Blaser, anybody doubt the Koyach of Tshuva. The speaker says his drosha. Everybody sits there nodding their head. Yes, I must really be Chayzer B'Tshuva. Does one person get up and say, I don't have a munah in the Koyach of Tshuva? I've never seen such a thing. So what's going on? Are we greater ma'aminim than they were in the times of Yecheskel Hanovi? Are we on a more lofty madrega than they were then? Here you have the Novi giving them the ultimate drosha, and they didn't believe it. We do believe it? We're bigger tzaddikim than they were in the times of Yecheskel Hanovi? Says Rabbi Yitzchok Blaser, a phenomenal yesod. He says, the truth is, tshuva doesn't make sense. If you don't believe in the koyach of tshuva, that's quite reasonable. Because in fact, tshuva is illogical. Somebody has been over an avera. He's rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive him, wipe out his sin as if it hasn't happened, but it has happened. We all know the opening line of Rabbeinu Yoina in the Shari HaTshuva, where he writes that tshuva is a tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it a chesed? Because it doesn't make any sense. Al pi midas hadin. Somebody was over in Aveira, he was Mechalal Shabbos, he was Mevatel Torah, he spoke Lashon Hara, he's Chayzer B'Tshuva, so now he, all of a sudden, wasn't Mechalal Shabbos? He didn't speak Lashon Hara? Al pi midas hadin, if that's what he did, then he has to suffer the consequences. What's this inyan of Tshuva? L'chayra, it's illogical, it's neged hasteichel. There was a great Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, a cousin of my family, Shavu Rafua Shalema, Rav Moshe Kalbach. And Rav Moshe once told me, he's a very original thinking Talmud Chacham, and he said to me once, he said, you know, everything that happens in this world is for Klal Yisrael to learn a lesson from. Everything, Hakoel Bishvil Yisrael. At the time he told this to me, several years ago, close to 20 years ago, one of the presidents of the United States was just coming to the end of his term. And as we know, there exists this concept of a presidential pardon. And this great Talmud Chacham, Rav Moshe Kalbach, said to me, you know, a presidential pardon makes no sense whatsoever. Here you have some of the worst criminals in the United States of America sitting in jail for crimes they have undoubtedly committed, and all of a sudden, the president can just advocate clemency and that's it, they're off the hook. Said Rav Moshe, I have no doubt whatsoever that this concept of a presidential pardon is here l'toivas klal Yisrael, to teach us the koyach of tshuva. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moichel us, it also doesn't make sense. Why should we be zeicha to clemency? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has performed for us a very great chesed. He's introduced this concept of a presidential pardon, so we see it happen in front of our own eyes, so that helps us believe in the koyach of tshuva. But either way, essentially, tshuva is indeed a very difficult concept to understand. Says Rabitzel Blaser, how difficult is the concept of tshuva to understand? And the answer is, the greater you recognize the magnitude of chet, the greater the difficulty to understand the concept of tshuva. A remarkable yesod. He says, in the times of Yechezkel HaNavi, do you know why they believed in the koyach of tshuva less? Because they understood about averas more. They recognized the Reimamus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They recognized the tremendous and terrible rebellion in HaKadosh Baruch Hu when one performs an Avera. The greater the Avera, the less logical it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Meichel. And he says, this recognition of the great Goydel of Avera, who Kamoisha Kasav, Bersefer, Masilas Yesharim. He actually quotes the Masilas Yesharim we just mentioned a moment ago, Bebiur Yiras Chait. Have a look there, says Rav Itzel Blaser. It's all explained. It comes from Yiras Haroimimus. He says, when a person recognizes the magnitude of chet, then all of a sudden, yesoid hatshuva, muzar loy ma'oid midarke haseichel. It makes no sense. It becomes extremely strange and very, very difficult to understand. How can we understand the koyach of tshuva if we appreciate the goydel of chet? But he says, however, if somebody does not recognize what Avera is all about, he doesn't see that anything terrible has quite frankly happened. As he writes in his lengthy piece there, if somebody, for example, imagine you accidentally were over on Shabbos Meleches Boirer. You took the shell out of the taroivas instead of one of the nuts. You were just over an Issa Deiraisa. B'shoigeg, ha'im yevosh, is he embarrassed? Is he greatly ashamed? Would he be highly, highly embarrassed to tell somebody of what just happened? He says, no. What did I do? I took a shell. I should have taken a nut. Great shame. Shame, chaval. So he says, therefore, the reason why in our generation we appreciate, as it were, we believe in the koyach of tshuva more than they ever did, is not because we are greater ma'aminim in the concept of tshuva. It's just that we understand avera less. In the times of the Navi, they appreciated. They certainly understood what it means to be over an avera. And therefore, by definition and necessarily, the concept of tshuva became all the more difficult to understand. They were not less ma'aminim than we are. They just appreciated chet more than we do. Doesn't this remind us of the famous story at the end of the Gemara in Makkos? Rabbi Akiva is approaching the Beis HaMikdash. He sees a fox leave the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanoim with him burst out crying. And he laughs. And they explain they're crying because what a tragedy. And he explains why he's laughed, because he sees the chizuk. It's the very same Rabbi Akiva The very same Rabbi Akiva who also cries on a different occasion. Do you know when he cries? The Gemara in Nozi says, what happens if a woman undertook an oath not to eat the particular loaf of bread in front of her, and her husband, unbeknown to her, was Mati the Neder. As we know, the husband has that koyach. She didn't know about this, and she willingly and bemazed went ahead and ate the loaf of bread. Has she be over an Aveira? No. Because she might not have known it, but her husband actually was Matir the Neder. Says the Torah, but she didn't know that, and she still needs an atonement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the attempt at being over the Aveira. And the Gemara says that when Rabbi Akiva learned this halacha, he burst into tears. Look at the remarkable contrast. Rabbi Akiva saw the Beis HaMikdash in ruins. He saw a fox leaving the Kodesh Kodshim, and he wasn't moved. He laughed. Rabbi Akiva saw a drosha that says if you even just attempt an Aveira unsuccessfully, you need a kapara. That brought him to tears. That's Yiras Achit. That's Yiras Achit. This is the tremendous yesod of the Koich Ve'Oir. Moshe and Aaron had fear that Chas V'Shalom, maybe they were moil. They misappropriated the Shemen HaMishcha. That Yiras Achit came from the understanding of what Chet is all about. They understood what it means to be Chetim. Even B'Shoigeg also represents a partial rebellion against the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. They understood what Chet is all about. That's what they understood in the times of Yecheskel HaNovi as well. And that's why it was so difficult for them to grapple with the concept of tshuva. We are not greater ma'aminim. We just understand Aveira less. So emuna doesn't seem so tshuva doesn't seem so strange in our eyes after all. But I think that there's a very important addition that we need to add to this yesod. Have we ever stopped and wondered and asked ourselves a very fundamental and basic question? All of us undoubtedly learn halacha, whether it's Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Yom Tov or Hilchos Shmita or Hilchos Netilas Yudayim, we are all involved in learning halacha. And perhaps the question that we would like to ask, or are perhaps embarrassed to ask, why are there indeed such a multitude of halachas? Let's put the question very crassly. Does it make a difference whether I tie up my left shoe or my right shoe? That really makes a difference? Does it really make a difference if I take out the nut from the bowl or the shell from the bowl? One's boirer or one's not boirer? Does it really, as it were, bother the Ribbono Shel Olam? Here we are in Shmita. I need to now measure the hole at the bottom of my plant pot, whether it's an otzitz nokuv or an otzitz she'ene nokuv. Does it really matter? I understand a person has to have emuna, so I'll study emuna. A person has to have good midos, I'll study the halachas of good midos. But whether or not I tie up my right shoelace or my left shoelace, whether I move a pen by accident on Shabbos, with my elbow it's mutter, with my finger it's asa. This question is posed by none less than the Ran, one of the great Mirabbeinu HaRishonim. He asks the question in a very interesting fashion. We are, on occasion, chas v'shalom over an Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks retribution, as it were, and punishes us. Isn't that an Issa of Nekama? He asks. Nekama? HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeking revenge? So he says, and this is his big yesod, it's not revenge. If somebody puts their hand in the fire and gets their hand burned, is that revenge? No, that is a metzius. That is the reality, the physical reality of fire. Fire burns. Averas warrant punishment. It's not as an act of retribution. Just as fire burns the body, so too averas affect the soul. Mitzvahs is what gives chiyus to the neshama. Averas is what damages and harms the neshama. When chas v'shalom, somebody is over an avera, the reality is, the metzius is that avera has been performed, his neshama has been affected, punishment is necessarily required because it's a reality. When a person ties up his left shoelace or his right shoelace, that affects the reality of his neshama. That is a metzius. That is a metzius. Rav Moshe Feinstein on one occasion found himself in a Beis HaMedrash. There was somebody standing behind him who was still davening. As we know, when somebody's standing behind you, you can't do Ois HaShalom reverse because this person is there in the middle of davening. It took a long time. Eventually, this person behind him finished Shmoneh Esrei and Rav Moshe was able to leave. He apologized to somebody who was waiting outside the Beis HaMedrash for him. He says, I'm sorry, I got stopped by a wall. He says, a wall? He says, yes, there was a wall behind me. I was stuck. Rav Moshe Feinstein saw somebody davening behind him as a wall. That's the reality. If the halacha dictates that you can't move back, then you can't move back. That's as good as a 100-ton concrete wall standing behind you. That's the fact. That's the metzius. You know, I once heard a wonderful story. There was somebody who was considering taking up a religious way of life. He himself was very removed from religion. So he started investigating and he read these halachas and he was very put off and he wrote to a rav in Eish HaTorah in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. He sent him an email and he says, full of leitzonos, he says, I don't understand. It all seems very absurd, bizarre to me. Does it really make a difference? Left shoe and right shoe, and I've got to wash my hands three times and twice, and who in the world cares? Why is it important? He waits for the response and it's not forthcoming. So he writes the Rav another email. He says, are you scared to answer? Have you got nothing to say for yourself? Why can't you answer the question? Why does it make a difference which shoe you tie up first? Why does it make a difference how many times I wash my hands? Why does it make a difference which bracha I make? Can't you answer the question? He's waiting for his answer, and once again, he's waiting in vain, and he sends the question now for a third time. This time he gets a response from the Rav. And the Rav wrote to him, he says, no, I'm not scared at all. I did send you an email. You wrote to me that your email address is such and such and such and such, gmail.com. So I missed out the dot. Who in the world cares? It's only one dot at the end of the day. And then he, of course, added, it's true. Maybe I don't understand what on earth is the difference between one dot, if you write gmail.com or gmail.com. But those organizing this tremendous, great, worldwide web of internet, they do understand, and that's the way things run. And if you don't include that dot, your email will not reach its intended address. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running an even greater worldwide web. And whether you wash your left hand or your right hand, that's no less important. That's a million times more important than the gmail.com. This is the yesod of Yiras Chet. Imagine you are buying yourself a pair of tefillin. You look at the parashiyos and they look for all the world, wonderful parashios. One moment. Do you know that you actually have no way of telling whether these are kosher or non-kosher? You can have them checked by a million seferim and a million computer checks. You will never know whether it's kosher or not. Do you know why? Perhaps the sefer wrote the words of your tefillin shaloi kesidron in the wrong order. You can't tell. Nobody in a million years, unless you're a Navi, can possibly tell. So how about this sefer? He's got to the end of the parashas of tefillin. It's taking him 3 weeks to write. He's just realized his mistake in the first word. That could be several thousand shekels worth of business out the window. It'll take him 2 seconds just to fix up the first words of the parasha in tefillin. Nobody will ever know. Not quite true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. That's Yiras Shamayim. That's Yiras Chet. That's the gmail.com. Who in the world cares? At the end of the day, every word that's supposed to be written in the tefillin is written. I corrected the word. I didn't correct the word. Why does it make a difference? It makes a difference because that's the reality. The reality is if you correct the word in the beginning and it's now written out of order, those tefillin are possible. Imagine a drop of poison splashed towards your Shabbos cholent. What are you going to say? Well, it was only one drop. Probably be okay. Nobody would take that risk because you understand that that is a reality. It's not a punishment. If there is poison in your food, then that kills. Imagine you've just cooked a whole supper and all of a sudden you realize, 1 second, that was a meaty supper in a milky pot. I could serve it to 100 guests. Nobody will ever know. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. That food is treif. A caterer who's running a mass industry, one small mistake could cost him millions of dollars. Where's his Yiras Shamayim? Where's his Yiras Chet? Does he understand that's a metzius, that's a reality, that's your Moshe Feinstein's wall behind him as he's davening? Will the sefer merely say, well, probably it's okay. I'm sure it's fine. Will the person who's running this catering industry say, I'm sure the food is okay. Probably there was shishim. Maybe it was Eina Ben Yoimai. Maybe there's no poison in the food. Would he say that as well? When he understands that somebody's life is on the line? So too, when he really understands that this is the reality, somebody's neshama is on the line. And this really, people ask, what does it mean to be a Haredi? And the answer is, to be a Haredi Jew does not depend on what color your yarmulke is, what type of hat you wear. Do you wear a hat? Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you have to wear a hat. Do you know what the word Haredi means? As the Navi describes, Hachored ledvar Hashem. That's what a Haredi means. I have fear, chas v'sholom, to violate the word of Hashem. If I live a life of doing my utmost to be careful not to be over an Avera, then I'm a Haredi Jew. And if I'm not, then I'm not a Haredi Jew, whatever color my hat is. The Vilna Goyim once moved on Shabbos what he thought was the shell of a nut. A nutshell on Shabbos is muktzah. As soon as he did so, he passed out. He fainted on the spot. He came around and he passed out again. Until his wife took it and she actually ate it. To show him that in fact it wasn't a nutshell, it was a nut after all. So he calmed down. The stipler, the father of Chaim Kanievsky, when he met his intended, his wife, on the Shidduchim, he fell asleep the whole time during the Shidduchim. Not a very romantic first meeting. it turned out that on the train, on the way to meet his Eishes Chayil, he had a chashash that perhaps there was shatnas in the seats of the train. So for several hours, he remained standing, didn't want to sit on the seat. He was exhausted, and that's why he fell asleep. The Briskerov, was Yiras Shomayim and Yiras Chet, was famous. He was, as his title suggested, the Rav in Brisk. And as the Rav, his job on occasion was to check the local mikveh. Every day of the year, the mikveh is in usage, not on the night of Tisha B'Av. So on the night of Tisha B'Av, he went, together with a Talmud of his, to check the local mikveh. And he saw what looked like a crack in the wall, which may have meant a chashash psul in the mikveh. And the Briskerov fainted on the spot. He fainted on the spot at the mere thought that, what does this mean? This mikveh has been used and it may not be kosher. They examined the mikveh again, and on second inspection, it turned out the mikveh was actually kosher after all. 2 decades later, when the Briskerov was no longer living in Brisk, but rather here in Eretz Yisrael, this very same Talmud came to, this very same Talmud came to Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh, and he met the Briskerov, and he said to him, "Do you remember me?" And he said, "No, I'm afraid I don't." And he said to the Briskerov, "Don't you remember? I was the one who accompanied you on that Tisha B'Av night 20 or 30 years ago when there was a concern about the kashrus of the mikveh." The Briskerov heard that and he fainted again. 30 years later. He fainted at the mere recollection of the pachad he had 30 years ago that perhaps the mikveh may be okay, and it turned out it was okay. One of the great Rosh Hashivas in this country, who was Nifter a number of years ago, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, said, "Chas v'sholem to think, as some have put it in a very late sonorous fashion, well, the Briskerov clearly was of nervous disposition. Chas v'sholem to think that." He said, when he was in Europe and bombs were raining down, he used to get extremely nervous. But when they came closer to his home, he was no longer nervous. How can that be? And he explained, because when they were in the distance, he knew he had a chayvas hishtadlus. I've got to make a decision. Where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to be to protect my own safety? But once the bombs were raining upon his house, there was no more chayv hishtadlus. There was nothing for me to do. I was nervous, says the Briskerov, that I wasn't being mekayim my chiyuv hishtadlus the way I should have. Once the bombs were raining down on me and there was no more chiyuv hishtadlus, at that stage there's nothing to be nervous about. Said Rav Moshe Shmuel, you see, the Briskerov was not of nervous disposition, but he had Yiras Shamayim. And that's why he fainted when he saw that there may be a psul in the mikvah. And he fainted 30 years later when he recalled that episode. This, therefore, is what Yiras HaChet is all about. When Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen had this concern that perhaps there had been over Me'ila, perhaps the Shemen HaMishcha had dripped accidentally on an area that it shouldn't have, they were not of nervous disposition. There was Rosh V'Rishayim, a full understanding of what chet is all about, difficult for perhaps us to grapple with. And secondly, they realized that it's a reality. Dropping the Shemen HaMishcha where it shouldn't be is like dropping poison where it shouldn't be. That's a reality. And that is what Yiras HaChet is all about. So when we daven, it's true. Hakoil bidei shomayim chutz mi yiras shomayim. So therefore, this is really our avoda, to be zoicha to the Yiras Shamayim of Gedolei Yisrael, to understand what it means to sin, to understand that this is the gmail.com. This is the wall behind Rav Moshe Feinstein. Be'ezus Hashem, we shall be zoicha to reach these dargas of Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chit.
Amen.
Stop.
Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop. Stop.